Is it a race issue or is it a privilege issue? Now, that's an interesting way of putting it, right? As a white guy, and it would be really good, by the way, right now, if I had a black co-host to kind of give me their perspective. But it doesn't seem like I'm going to get that. Am I? Gratitude.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only and represents the individual opinions of Dr. Dimitri Bick and his guests. It does not constitute the practice of medicine or other professional healthcare services and should not be taken as medical advice or an establishment of standard of care. No guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The content on this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Please consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Psych Effect Podcast. I'm your host, Dimitri Bick. If this is your first time, welcome. If this is not, welcome back. We are sitting at about 10 reviews still on Google. If you haven't reviewed us, please do. And, they tell us, if anybody ever says, what's the slowest time in sports? Everybody says it's July, right? The NBA finals ends, the Stanley Cup finals ends. Baseball is in the middle of a really, really, really long 162-game season. Football is still a month away. There's no college sports. And it's hard to argue that that is probably correct. But I'm going to argue that now, if there's any other time, this would be it. Because there's no football other than whatever the UFL is, if you like that. There's no college sports to speak of because the March Madness just ended. Baseball has just started and there's no real stories other than whether or not Shohei Ohtani's translator is going to go to federal prison for the rest of his life for fraud, for bank fraud and wire fraud and money laundering and all this. And the NBA season is about to end. And unless you're the one or two seed in both conferences, do you really care where your team is seated? I mean, in the NBA, the best teams really do end up in the finals and winning. Like what happened to the Heat last year, although it was great, like literally never happens in basketball. The eighth seed never does that ever. And although I would love for the Heat to do that again, I don't see that path. So the season ending and again, in the NHL, do you really care where the seeding is? Road teams win all the time in the NHL. Home ice isn't really that important. So the playoffs really haven't started yet. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make here is that sports right now is sort of kind of in a lull. And so there's not really a whole lot to talk about with sports. And then this week happens and this huge story drops right in our lap. And of course, I'm talking about the new Joker trailer that just dropped. Have you guys seen this thing? I love it. Okay, when I was a kid growing up, there were three superheroes in my life. Superman, Spider-Man, and Batman in that order. But there was only one villain. One bad guy. It was Joker. That was it. And as I grew up, it was the Jack Nicholson Joker from the Michael Keaton Batmans. And as I got older, it kept being that guy. And I think it's because Joker and I sort of share a nihilistic worldview of people. And if you listen to this show before, and of course, why wouldn't you? And you've listened to our show on evil, which is show number, I'll get it for you in a second here. It is show number 36, The Roots of Evil with Dr. Evan Longan. You will know what I think of people. Joker and I sort of share that nihilistic worldview. And my favorite Joker, of course, is probably everyone's favorite Joker. It's Heath Ledger. And it may not be why other people think it is, not because he's a great actor, which he is, of course. or was, because, you know, he died. But not because of that, but because he nailed the Joker's personality, the person of who the Joker is. And that movie nailed the Joker's worldview. And so when you combine the actor, who's a great actor, nailing the personality of the character, and the script writers and the director nailing the worldview of the character, you get a perfect Joker. And I'm a guy who was a Jack Nicholson guy before that, who thought that he really kind of nailed, he hit the nail on the head with the original Dark Knight Joker. Because before that, we had, you know, like the Adam West Light Knight, and everything was a joke. But the first Dark Knight Joker, Jack Nicholson really hit that hard. He did a really good job with sort of a gangster, badass Joker. But Heath Ledger really nailed that. And in my opinion, had a real world Joker showed up in a real world city of Gotham, say New York or whatever, LA, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Chicago, which I think Gotham is sort of based on in the Nolan trilogy. And he did that fairy idea that he had, one of those two fairies would have blown up. Let's be real here. That would have worked. That plan by the Joker would have worked. But Nolan didn't want that movie to end that way. He wanted the movie to end in a different negative way of the transformation of Harvey Dent into the bad guy. So he wanted the Joker to win, but not by turning people against each other. He wanted people to turn against Batman, which is fine, and I'm okay with that. But if you know my philosophy on people, I believe that he would have won both ways. The people would have turned on each other in the real world. One of those fairies would have blown up, and Harvey Dent would have turned. So, yeah, when that Joker trailer dropped, and you get this new version of Joker with Joaquin Phoenix, who's doing a great job in this kind of other world version of him, I was pretty excited. I don't necessarily think you need to have a backstory for Joker, and I don't particularly care that they're doing that. Like, we kind of know he's, you know, they say, like, you know, like, what's Joker's mental illness? Like, I don't need to see his backstory. I prefer to not know where he's from. And everyone's like, well, what's Joker's mental illness? What's Joker's mental illness? I don't know that he has one. And I think, you know, in the Nolan trilogy, they purposely leave it vague, which I like, because it should be that way. We shouldn't know where he's from. We shouldn't know who he is. In this new Joaquin Phoenix version of him, you know, we have a name and a backstory. He's a clown that has pseudobulbar syndrome, and he's a bullied. He sort of goes off the rails. I don't need to see that. And people are like, well, what else does he have? Is he schizophrenic or whatever? No, he's not. He's not schizophrenic. Let's get that out of the way. People that are schizophrenic are more afraid of you than you are of them. Okay. Joker in general is probably just a psychopath. Okay. And, you know, we could go through the psychopath. Like, what is a psychopath? Right. And generally, the definition of a psychopath came from what we consider, you know, the PCL, the original Hare psychopath checklist, which has now been revised. But the original checklist, you know, we could go through this checklist. So let's go down the list real quick, right? Are they glib, superficial, egocentric, grandiose, prone to boredom, lying, cunning, lack of sincerity, lack of guilt or remorse, shallow affect, callous, parasitic, short-tempered, sexually promiscuous, have a history of early behavioral problems, lack of realistic long-term plans, impulsive, irresponsible as a parent, frequent marital relationships, juvenile delinquency, history of probation, failure to accept responsibility for their own actions, many different types of offenses, and drug and alcohol abuse. Now, how many of those apply to Joker? We could go through all of them. there are probably a pretty good amount of them. You know, does Joker have some other mental illness? I don't think so. I think he's probably just a psychopath. You know, so we don't want to assign, we don't necessarily need to assign a mental illness to him. I think he's a perfect character just the way he is. But the other thing I wanted to mention is the Harley Quinn. Like, could they have picked a better actress than Lady Gaga to play Harley Quinn? Like, I don't think so. Like, and if they don't, I think that this movie is supposed to be like a musical, which is great. I'm looking forward to that too. But even if it isn't, okay. But if they don't play the song Bad Romance in this movie, do you think it's like it's a missed opportunity? Cause like that song seems really kind of perfect for this movie. But it got me thinking, who could play a better Harley Quinn than Lady Gaga? That I can't think of a better Harley Quinn. And Margot Robbie played Harley Quinn in the DCEU and she was really good, but Lady Gaga is going to nail it. I think they nailed casting perfectly, but it got me thinking, who else could they get to play Harley Quinn in this kind of dark, really, really dark Joker story? And I got a top five. Other actresses that could have played Harley Quinn. Number five, Mia Goth. Number four, Emma McKay. And if you don't know who these actresses are, go look them up. They're really good. Number three, and this would have been my personal choice, is Anya Taylor-Joy. This woman, she's good. And she's creepy as hell, too. So she would have been really good. And number two, and this one keeps coming up in all of the options from all the fans, Samara Weaving. And of course, number one, Lady Gaga. And that's my rant on the new Joker movie. And yes, I'm going to talk about O.J. Simpson next.
Welcome to the Bar Banter Podcast. I'm Travis Jennings, and along with my three hilarious friends, we debate and solve the questions that no one dares to ask. Questions like, what is the best Starburst flavor? Does the person in the middle seat get both armrests? And which Muppet would make the best assassin? If you're looking for a podcast that will make you laugh hysterically or scream in your car with rage, we have the show you didn't know you were irrationally passionate about. Join us for new episodes every Wednesday wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on the socials at @_barbanter. And remember, this is our podcast and you're just along for the ride.
Okay, look, I know. The big story actually is that O.J. Simpson died this week. We all know that. And I was actually going to do a show on Antonio Brown and him going completely full MAGA. And it sort of related to something that happened in my office and do something on schizoaffective disorder. And O.J. sort of just pushed that right out the window. And I was actually going to do a show in a few weeks on this story about a former basketball player from the G League named Chance Camanche, and a girlfriend of his who murdered an escort in Las Vegas. They hired her, and I guess they had a falling out over a Rolex watch, and they killed her in the back of a car on a day that he was supposed to play a basketball game, apparently. And he confessed, and he's got a court date coming up soon, in the next few months. And I wanted to do an episode on the Dark Triad and murderers, because this sort of triggered, you know, an idea of premeditated murder and conspiracy in my head. And then OJ died and sort of reignited that and sort of pushed that episode up, you know, and the idea of, you know, people have a lot of ideas about OJ. And the idea was, did OJ have any Dark Triad traits? And there's a lot of opinions on this everywhere. And people are trying to make this out, not this, they're trying to make out this OJ saga as a race thing. And it is, to a degree, because there's this divide between, you know, white people think that he did it and he got away with murder. Black people think he didn't do it and he was innocent. And okay, fine, we can probably agree that that's the majority of people, but I think there's a lot of white people that think he didn't do it either, and there's black people that think he did it. I don't think it's 100% either way, but to me, it's a different thing. To me, this is exactly the issues that are going on in America today. OJ, whether he did it or didn't do it, isn't necessarily what happened here. Let's say he did do it, okay? And he did get away with it, okay? And let's say he didn't do it, and he got correctly a not guilty verdict. What really happened in that courtroom, okay? You had an individual who had a lot of money hire the best lawyers that the amount of money he had could hire, okay? And he fought the state of California and their best lawyers, and he got the verdict he needed, whether he did or didn't do it, to get away, right? So is it a race issue or is it a privilege issue? Now, that's an interesting way of putting it, right? As a white guy, and it would be really good, by the way, right now, if I had a black co-host to kind of give me their perspective, but it doesn't seem like I'm going to get that. Am I? Gratitude. Yeah, I'm not going to get that. Anyway, but I realize that I'm a white guy saying the word privilege about a black guy, but I am. And the reason I am is because he had the ability, or maybe that's a better word, of being able to hire these people. And what is that? What is that ability or what is that privilege? It's a class privilege, okay? And that part is what the issue here is that we're divided here not just by race in America, we're divided by class. And he got the verdict he needed, whether he did or didn't do this, because he was at a different class level than everyone else. So black people that are cheering this verdict are cheering it because he's a black man who got away with murder, maybe, or he's a black man that was falsely accused of murder that got the verdict he needed. But he's a rich man who got the defense he needed to get the verdict he needed. And that's what's happening here. That's what's happening with all rich people in America is they get the defense they need to get away with things that they do. Whether they do it or they don't, they get the defense they need. And a lot of the times they do it. They do actually do the things they do. Donald Trump. Oh, don't at me, all the Republicans that listen to this show. You know what? But there's also liberals that do bad things too, that get away with stuff. So the liberals don't get happy either. They do things too, and they get the best defense to get away with things. So OJ, whether he did this or not, to me, because I'm not the one who had the son and the daughter murdered, is not, for societal purposes, is not the relevant issue here. It's the class issue. This man had the ability to get the verdict he needed, and he did it, okay? And this is a class issue. But that's not the purpose of this discussion. This is a mental health discussion. So I'm going to talk about the dark triad. And what is the dark triad? And the dark triad is, and answer the question whether or not OJ had these traits, right? So what is the dark triad? Dark triad's made up of these three traits, these three overall category of traits. One is psychopathy, one is narcissism, and one is Machiavellianism, and they sort of kind of overlap in this Venn diagram. So psychopathy we talked about in the last segment, and if you skipped over the last segment because you don't want to hear me talk about the Joker, then go back and listen to that segment because I talk about psychopathy because I'm not going to go and do it again. Narcissism, well, let's look at our handy-dandy DSM. And if you're on video, you can see me looking at my DSM. And if you're not, then here is the definition of narcissistic personality disorder from the DSM. A pervasive pattern of grandiosity in fantasy or behavior, need for admiration, and lack of empathy, beginning by early adulthood and present in a variety of contexts, indicated by five or more of the following. Number one, has a grandiose sense of self-importance. Two, is preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, beauty, or ideal love. 3, believes that he or she is special and unique and can only be understood or associate with other special or high status people. 4, requires excessive admiration. 5, has a sense of entitlement. 6, is interpersonally exploitative. 7, lacks empathy. 8, is often envious of others or believes that others are envious of them. And 9, shows arrogant, haughty behaviors or attitudes. And what is Machiavellianism? Well, Machiavellianism is a personality trait characteristic characterized by manipulation, indifference to morality, lack of empathy, and strategic focus on self-interest. Now, you're going to say, okay, well, isn't that narcissism? Yes, in a sense it is. It's defined by manipulation, insensitivity, the tendencies, strategic tendencies. But psychopathy is also defined by these things. But for instance, psychopathy is the manipulation in psychopathy is short-term and is more antisocial in nature. The manipulation that's narcissistic manipulation and insensitivity is geared towards self-promotion and therefore is for the goal of inflating the self-ego. Whereas the Machiavellian manipulation has strategic tendencies. So yeah, there's manipulation, but it's for different purposes. So it's the same, but different. Okay. And Machiavellianism and psychopathy are correlated, but predict different outcomes. So again, there's this Venn diagram where they overlap in certain areas, but they're also different. So psychopathy is sensitive to provocation, is associated with what's called hard tactics of manipulation, and is relationship motivated. And hard tactics are things like forceful tactics, including legitimizing, exchange pressures, and coalition. Soft tactics, as opposed to hard tactics, which Machiavellianism is associated with hard and soft tactics. So soft tactics would be more interpersonal and include things like rational persuasion, inspirational appeals, consultation, ingratiation, and personal appeal. So as you can see, the Machiavellian manipulation is strategic, right? Because that's ingratiation is a strategic sort of manipulation that kind of gets you in the door, right? So why are these things considered bad? Why is it called dark, right? Because there's these interpersonal factors that sort of get people in trouble. Narcissism is correlated with functional impulsivity, making fast, inaccurate decisions. Psychopathy is correlated with dysfunctional impulsivity and limited self-control. Dark triad also has links to humor style. Individuals with Machiavellianism and psychopathy exhibit aggressive and self-defeating humor styles. Those with narcissism exhibit more affinity of humor styles. Machiavellianism is also correlated with limited trait emotional intelligence, whereas narcissism may be linked to higher rates of emotional intelligence. Machiavellianism and psychopathy, but not narcissism, are associated with lower cognitive empathy. And Machiavellianism and psychopathy are associated with vengefulness and lack of forgiveness. There's also life outcome issues associated with this triad. Machiavellianism and narcissism are associated with hostility, and psychopathy is associated with physical aggression. Ego threat is the main incitement for aggression with narcissists. Bullying is closely linked with dark triad traits, with psychopathy most linked to bullying, followed by Machiavellianism and then narcissism. All three have been associated with student reports of cyberbullying, with psychopathy being the primary predictor. And we did a show on that, on bullying, a while back. It might have even been almost a year ago now. And all three play a role in sexual harassment, but psychopathy mostly is associated with the aggressive sexual acts. There's even societal implications for this. Dark Triad has been linked to racism and prejudice. And when you combine personality features, it adds social dominance and right-wing authoritarianism. Again, don't at me, people. Look it up. It's true. And Dark Triad features have also been linked to Ku Klux Klan. Again, don't at me. It's there. So then let's ask these questions, you know. Was OJ a narcissist? Well, like, you know, if you do like some simple Google searches, like, was OJ a narcissist or is OJ a narcissist? You'll find some quotes. Some people really do think that. Here and there, some people will say that he is, some people say that he isn't. But you don't find anything direct, like any kind of direct behavior to kind of find any like specific evidence that will point to anything that was in the DSM book, okay? Machiavellianism, you know, manipulative behavior, lack of moral ethic, lack of moral standards, cynicism, stuff like that. You could look up, you know, was OJ manipulative? Well, there's the first search, when you do that search, there's a quote from Judith Regan, who interviewed OJ for a book. I believe she interviewed him for the If I Did It book. Her quote is that he's bone-chilling, that the exchange was bone-chilling, and she called him cold-blooded and deeply manipulative. Well, that's one person's opinion. To take that with a grain of salt. You know, there's a lot of people who think that he's that way. Ronald Goldman's family called him a narcissistic liar, but you'd expect that from them, right? Was he a psychopath? Well, you get a lot more opinions on that. For instance, his lawyer, Robert Shapiro. I found this article. It's a Fox News article. So again, take that with a grain of salt. Quote, this is from the article. OJ lawyer, he's a sociopath. Okay. That was very quick. All right. And this is Cato Kalin's response to a question about what he thought of OJ. And before I play this, I want to point out that the whole clip is about 4.5 minutes long, but the first 3.5 minutes is the question. And the question is just a recapping of the entire OJ car chase and the retelling of what happened in the Bronco, that he had a gun to his head and that he had a disguise, and then he drove up to the house, and then he got out of the house, he went to the house, he had a cup of juice, which they thought was funny, and then the police, he threatened to kill himself. And so that was the entire first 3.5 minutes of this clip, which I'm not going to play, is just the retelling of that story. And then they said, Cato, what did you think of all of that? And this is the response.
I thought this is a sociopath, 100%. I thought I'd, you know, I didn't hang out with OJ, but there were times that we were out together. Never before is a man that wanted to be adulated by people, no matter what, with having him to say people love him. He wanted people to love him. I think that's what the letter is about. It's about, remember the real OJ, the one that just isn't me. And that's a classic sociopath. Mm. And I was watching it with friends, and I just said, he's not going to kill himself. This guy, he loves himself way too much. When I didn't know about the mask and all that. No one, that was released later. Yeah. But that's, I think, was really an admission of guilt, somewhat, of knowing what's he's going to hide out after he just said that he was going to kill himself, but he still had the 8,000. He still had the passport. He still had the mask. So I think it was just fugitive on the run, escape.
Now, he uses the term sociopath, and a lot of people use that term, but there's no psychological term for sociopath. I think people use that term interchangeably when they mean psychopath. So he probably, and I'm not going to put words in Cato's mouth here, but he probably means psychopath. Only because he just doesn't know that there is no definition for sociopath. So, and so does probably Robert Shapiro, who's saying sociopath, because they use that term interchangeably. But so there's a number of people here that think that he is a psychopath. So here's the thing. So let's answer this question here after, you know, 20 minutes or so of going through all of this. Does OJ have traits of the Dark Triad? But yeah, you know what? Probably he does. And what? And so what? And the thing is, that doesn't mean that it's bad that you have these traits. Okay? Because I'm going to tell you a little secret here, that a lot of people that get to the place that OJ got to have these traits. You actually need them to get to the place that OJ got to be a running back at USC at the height of talent and the height of fame, to be a running back that gets 2,000 yards when no one gets 2,000 yards ever in the NFL at that time. You need to have these. You need to believe in yourself more than anybody believes in yourself. You need to be narcissistic, okay? You need to have this lack of empathy for other running backs. I'm going to beat you, and you can't beat me. So there's got to be a little bit of all of these traits within someone to get to that point. CEOs are psychopaths to a degree, and they get things done. Just having these traits in and of themselves doesn't make it a bad thing. You'll find that these traits are in people that you may even know. The person maybe sitting next to you in the car. Even your friendly neighborhood psychiatrist or podcast host may have some of these traits. And you may never even know that. So look, it doesn't necessarily make it a bad thing. To get to the level of fame and success of these celebrities and these athletes, you kind of have to have some of these traits. And not all of these traits are bad in and of themselves. It's how you use these traits in a day-to-day life. That's what makes them negative and makes them bad. So yeah, you can have a lack of empathy and you can have a sense of high sense of self-worth. But if you use that to attain success in football, fantastic and good for you. But if you use that to murder people, that's different. Okay, so just because you necessarily have Dark Triad traits doesn't make you in and of itself negative. Now, did he use those traits in a negative way? Well, a lot of people will say yes, because even if he didn't kill Nicole and Ronald Goldman, he did still abuse her. And I think that is not defamation. That is like factual, like everyone understands that. And so if he was using those traits for abusing his wife, then yeah, we can say that that's not good. But that also doesn't make him a murderer. You know, so look, that's where we're at with OJ. And, you know, but like I said, not to sound completely too redundant, people are always going to make OJ about race. But to me, it's about class. He had the money and he got the defense and he got the verdict he needed. And that to me is what it's always going to be about. Because that's what's going on in America. It's a class war right now. Race is just part of it. So on that happy note, mental health tip of the day is next. Time for the mental health tip of the day.
Day full of hiccups? Need a shake up? Listen up. It's the Psych Effect Podcast Mental Health Tip of the Day.
All right, let's do this, because the mental health tip of the day is still brought to you by nobody. Still nobody. But eventually, it will be brought to you by somebody. Today's mental health tip of the day is labels. Labels. Look, labels, people. They don't define you. No labels will define you. People can give you and can call you something, or you can have a diagnosis on a chart, maybe. But that's not what you are. And it's not who you are. Who you are and what you are is defined by what you do, not by what someone says you are. It's not even by what you say you are, to be honest. It's what you do. And so don't define yourself and don't let anybody else define you with a term. And you will find that you will feel better when you don't give yourself a terminology to give yourself. In other words, I'm anxious. My doctor told me I have anxiety. I'm depressed. Okay. If you act depressed, then that's the way you're going to feel. Okay. But if you're not acting depressed, then why would you label yourself that way? Okay. And if someone else says, well, you are depressed, but you don't feel like you're acting that way, then why would you accept that label? And I see a lot of people doing that. They come to my office and say, I've been told that I'm crazy, or I've been told that I'm depressed, and now I feel that way. But why? Are you acting that way? Are you acting crazy? Are you acting depressed? Are you acting like a schizo? Because I get that one a lot too. Well, no. Well, why do you accept that label then? So the tip of the day is don't accept labels. Don't label yourself. Look at your behavior, because that's who you are. You're not the label that people give you, and you're not the label that you give yourself. You are your behavior. All right, that's the show. Hope you liked it. Remember, like, subscribe, review, please. And I will see you next week.
The previous podcast is for general informational purposes only and represented the individual opinions of Dr. Dimitri Bick and his guests. It does not constitute the practice of medicine or other professional healthcare services and should not be taken as medical advice or an establishment of standard of care. No guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The content on this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Please consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions.